With the fifth overall selection, the Nashville Predators in the 2025 NHL entry draft, select from the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds, Brady Martin.
Now, as you see this, it's seeding season back home for him. And if one of the Martins couldn't take care of the cows, none of them were going to go. So he's stuck with the Martins, Weeksy. And I know you love this player's story.
And a real hardcore farming background, all work ethic, all commitment.
Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. We are presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee. Jake Lyman is with us today. Hello, Jake.
Hello, Jerry. What's going on?
I'm doing outstanding. You know what's going on. You heard it right there. You heard it from Shea Weber on some golf course, zooming into the NHL draft, which was an abomination in and of itself. The Nashville Predators select Brady Martin with the fifth overall pick. Now, I don't want to toot my own horn or anything, but in the last segment of the program on Friday, I predicted that the Nashville Predators would select Brady Martin with the fifth overall pick. Now, I thought that that was going to be because Higgins went fourth, but again, that's what I thought was going to happen. And I'm not going to lie to you. When Brady Martin was the pick, I was speechless. Legitimately speechless. I'll explain that in a little bit. But I wasn't shocked. The writing had been on the wall as far as the Predators and what Brady Martin brings to the table. Now, I'm going to have to go on a rant today, but it's not just going to be pointed in one direction. Because I need to address you people, and I need to address Barry Trotz and his decision-making. And I need them to be separate entities. So, as The Athletic said last week, Brady Martin was the most competitive player in the draft, and it wasn't close. And Barry Trotz was on our program on Tuesday, and he said the thing he really valued was your level of compete. And I said on the program last week, if this is a Trotz pick, it will be Brady Martin. But I figured if James Higgins was there, the organization would push Trotz into the Higgins corner, and I was wrong about that. So now to the two parts. First, you people. I want to start on the you people. Because it's easier to just get this out of the way. I did not like the Brady Martin pick over James Higgins either. I was not happy about that. Had it been Porter Martone over James Higgins, I wouldn't have liked it, but I would have understood. But the amount of people on Friday night that just absolutely lost their minds, as if the Predators went totally off the beaten path, and pick somebody who nobody had ever heard of. And Predators fans on Twitter starting to talk about Colton Sissons and Austin Watson. Like, oh, Barry passed on a number one center for Austin Watson. I'm like, guys, come on. Be fair. That's the rule around here. Brady Martin is a good player. I actually think Philadelphia, who went Martone at six, would have gone Martin with the sixth overall pick if he was there. He was absolutely a prospect in that range, you know, of four, five, six, seven, eight. How often during the NFL draft, for instance, do you see Mel Kiper Jr. has so-and-so as the sixth best player, but they go fourth instead? It happens all the time. That's what happened here. Brady Martin was not a reach. It was not a player that people thought was going to go in the teens. It was a guy most people thought was going to be gone by the seventh pick in the draft. Again, what's the difference between the fifth and the seventh pick? So the belly aching, like the Predators drafted some bum over a superstar, I thought was overblown. So that's the first thing I want to get out of the way. You people, Brady Martin was worth the pick. Like, he was, as far as a prospect is concerned, representative of the value for the fifth overall pick. Now, to Trotz. This felt to me like Barry Trotz, the coach, made the draft choice. That fierce competitor, the gamer, the guy who laces them up every day of the week, no matter what. It's almost idealistic to think of the player when you're picking fifth to be the best leader, the toughest competitor, the guy who never gives in, the guy who never backs down, and him also being a high-end talent. Motor matters. Heart matters. Work ethic matters. Dependability matters. That's why Ryan Johansson flamed out in the NHL. Because at the end of the day, Ryan Johansson didn't really give a rat's ass about hockey when push came to shove. And Brady Martin doesn't have that problem. Matt Duchene walked into a meeting, from what I was told. Matt Duchene walked into a meeting after having a bad season and said, "I thought I played pretty well." You will not have that problem with Brady Martin on this team. And yet, at the same time, it feels like Brady Martin lacks that extreme high-end offensive skill that James Hagans and Porter Martone both have. And if you are going to win at the highest levels in the NHL, you need that high-end offensive skill. When Barry Trotz was the coach, the Predators were always a bunch of grinders. They were built from the blue line out. But at times, it was quite frankly hard to watch. I remember that Vancouver series in 2012. Vancouver could just pass the puck up and down the ice. They could just set up camp in your zone. And for you, you had to hope that between Weber and Suter and a young Roman Josi and Pekka-Rinne in net, that they could carry you to victory. And then on the other side of it, you had to pray that maybe Joel Ward could poke one in there every now and then. You can't get past teams on a consistent basis in the NHL playoffs if you do not have high-end offensive skill. Brady Martin is a solid prospect. But after that terrible season that the Predators just had, and let's be real, it was terrible. The hope had to be that finally, for once, this team could pick someone who could lead the way, who could be that offensive, high-end skill player. And it just feels like Brady Martin has the desire to be that kind of player, but doesn't necessarily have the talent to be that kind of player. Again, Ryan Johansson had the talent to be that kind of player. He didn't have the desire to be that kind of player. Mike Fisher, meanwhile, absolutely, I thought, had the desire to be the very best he could be every night on the ice. But Mike Fisher didn't have Ryan Johansson's talent. And sometimes with coaches, they think one of two things. They either think, I can coach up a talent who either doesn't have the fundamentals or doesn't have the work ethic because I can coach him. I can get through to him. And at times, sometimes I think there are coaches that say, I just want the guy who gives me 100% every day because I can coach him everything he needs to know. You give me 100% every day and I'll give you 100% and we'll make the best combination of coach and player you've ever seen. And that's why it feels like, in this case, Barry Trotz chose heart over talent. And while, again, I don't have a problem with that, I understand. If you've got all the talent in the world, but you don't give a rat's ass, you're not going to be very good. But at the same time, the only way you really get high-end talent in the NHL is you either trade for it because somebody's asleep at the wheel or desperate to keep their job by winning today, or you stink bad enough to get to pick high in the draft. And when you get that pick high in the draft and there is high-end talent that is available, offensive hockey skill, you have to take it. If they had drafted Hagans and they had missed, it would not have gone over well. But at the same time, it would have been taking the shot on the talent that you most often cannot draft. Again, Brady Martin has talent. But is it enough talent? Because with his level of compete, if he had enough talent, he probably would have gone number two in the draft. So at the end of the day, I have to get on you people because you people, again, acting like this is Austin Watson is insane. That is completely unfair to Brady Martin. He was a well-thought-of prospect. He was a highly regarded prospect. But at the end of the day, Barry Trotz picked like a coach. He had the opportunity to get the more talented guys, and he passed. Because he looked at it like a coach would. Give me 100%, son. Give me 100% every day. Those are the teams that Trotz coached here. You want to know when Trotz won the cup? When he got to Washington and they already had Alexander Ovechkin. So as much as I like Barry Trotz and I am rooting for Barry Trotz, I got to say this felt like Barry the coach making a pick, not Barry the general manager. And a lot of the moves that haven't worked around here, I feel like, have been mistakes from Barry the coach. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get in. That's 615-737-1025. We will be taking your reaction all day long. So that's the first move, the Brady Martin pick. Now the second move, the Nicholas Haug trade. Now, Jake, you're kind of new to doing this with me. I mean, I know we've worked on and off in the past, but I have to ask you, do you know my rule?
Yes, if you don't know who he is, then he sucks.
Okay. I did not know who Nicholas Haug was. We'll get to that next. Stoneman & Company, 1025 The Game.
So let me ask you now, July 1st is coming up. Last year you guys were very active. What do you think it's going to be like this year in terms of maybe moving some pieces around or adding some pieces? What do you expect to do with your team in free agency?
Well, last year, obviously, I think I won July 1, according to everybody. And I was the one that said, too, it's fantasy hockey until it, you know, become a good team. You know, we did most of our work last year, and then the way the season went, I was using the term clean the porch a little bit for our young guys. You know, the plan hasn't changed for us. The plan has always been in pen, and really the, you know, the path has been in pencil. And I didn't think we were going to have the year we had last year, but when we went to the where we were last year, this year we're going to start the infusion of some younger players. We've got a really good group that we feel that are ready to pop out of the American League. They've spent a year, maybe 2 years in the American League, and they're now ready to contribute at the National Hockey League level. So it'll be a really good blend.
There you go. That was Barry Trotz on the NHL Network on Saturday. And surprise, surprise, on Sunday, Barry Trotz making moves. Last night, I was well asleep, and I caught wind. Again, I was actually on the radio this morning at 5 a.m. And so I was sleeping last night, and I got wind, got a message, hey, you know, something may go down. And I didn't know what it was going to be. And then I saw Darren Drager tweet out that the Predators were making a move for Nicholas Haug of the Las Vegas Golden Knights. Now, the rule is, we call it the Mikhail Granlin rule. If I don't know who a player is and the Predators acquire that player, then I assume that that player sucks. Every now and then, there's a player I've never heard of that the Predators acquire who actually helps the team and becomes a solid player. But most of the time, I feel like I watch enough hockey that I know who's good. And the guys that don't ever stick out to me, I couldn't tell you, couldn't help you, nope, no good. And so with this guy, I've never heard of him. So I saw last night that the trade went down. Sissons and Jeremy Lauzon, and Colton Sissons was a very, very good National Predator. I do not want to dismiss what Colton Sissons means to the Nashville Predators, because Sissons was here and was productive and was solid in that bottom six center line for a long, long time across multiple coaches. We all know about game six of the Western Conference Final, etc. But I'm not boo-hooing over the loss of Colton Sissons and Jeremy Lauzon. Again, with all due respect to Colton Sissons and the career he put together as a Nashville Predator. He's a very good Nashville Predator. That said, I then started listening to Robbie this morning, and it doesn't sound like this trade makes any sense. I mean, it makes sense to me why Vegas would make the trade. Vegas spins up to the cap so they can get rid of one of their third-pair defensemen who is a pending restricted free agent who is worth $5.5 million because, well, that's what you're paying him, for a third-pair defenseman at $2 million, that's Lauzon, and a center at $2.85 million. Then the Predators retained half of Sisson's contract, so Vegas is now getting the third-pair defenseman and a bottom-six center for $3.43 million. So they basically saved themselves $2 million compared to just keeping Nicholas Haig for a third-round pick that becomes a second if they make it to the Western Conference Finals. And this trade would actually make sense to me if Haig was a right-shot defenseman. There's one problem with that. He's not. And so I don't know who this guy is. And Robbie Stanley tells me he is a bottom pair defenseman who is a left shot guy. Adam Vingan was losing his mind today about the amount of money that the Predators are set to pay him. So I got to be honest here. I don't really get what Barry Trotz is doing, other than being the general manager that teams go to when they want to dump players and salary that they don't want anymore. The Pittsburgh Penguins wanted to dump Michael Bunting on the Predators, so they did. And part of the deal was for Novak and Luke Schenn, and Pittsburgh turned around the next day and flipped Luke Schenn for a better pick than they gave you. The Devils dumped Eric Halla, who was horrible last year, on you. So you took the cap hit. And to Adam Vingan's point, which I think is a fair point, you gave them a draft pick for Eric Halla. He was so bad last year, they should have given you a draft pick for Eric Halla. Now, let me say this. Michael Bunting was better than I expected. I watched him play, and I'm like, hey, this guy, he's got some toughness to him. He's got some spunk in his game. And I do expect him to be a top six forward this year. And then maybe the Predators can flip him at the deadline if they're no good. I don't know. But again, it just feels like when the Predators make trades now, it just feels like they're getting ripped off every time. And then they gave Nicholas Haig this contract, and everybody out there that would know anything, the analytics people, people that cover the league, Adam, Robbie, they see this contract, and they're like, what? Why are you giving this guy this kind of money? So at the beginning, Barry Trotz made moves that, again, they weren't these groundbreaking, earth-shattering, franchise-altering moves by dealing Ryan Johansson and retaining half of his salary to get rid of him. But it made sense. You get rid of Johansson and you save $4 million over 2 years. Made sense to me. At the trade deadline in 2024, Barry Trotz, again, had all those first-round picks and everything else. And he didn't deal anything to go crazy because he was still kind of 1 foot in the rebuild. So what did he do? He dealt some low-level picks for Anthony Beauvillier and Jason Zucker. Made sense to me. And this just seems like a bad trade. And it seems like the Luke Schenn trade, when it happened, kind of felt like a ripoff. And the Eric Halla trade, when it happened, kind of felt like a ripoff. And once again, this kind of feels like a ripoff. So what's going on here? Because, again, I'm kind of getting a little tired of the Predators making a trade and then me looking to the Predators and looking to Barry Trotz and saying, okay, so explain this trade to me. Because I understand why the other team made the trade, but I'm trying to figure out why you're making the trade. So the Brady Martin pick, again, the two things. The Martin pick, that's the first thing. You people went nuts and I think overreacted on how you felt about the Brady Martin trade, talking about him being the next Austin Watson, which I think is so unfair to Brady Martin's talent level. But it also felt like it was Barry Trotz taking a guy that Barry Trotz would want to coach and not taking the kind of talent that Barry Trotz needs on his team. And then the trade. Again, a guy I don't know, which means he probably sucks. Played third pair minutes in Vegas. And you gave him a $5.5 million contract? And you retained half of Colton Sisson's salary? Why are you doing that? Again, why are you doing that for them? So that they can turn around and trade Colton Sissons to the Toronto Maple Leafs to work out a deal for Mitch Marner, which is probably what's going to happen. Again, I get why Vegas did it. So that's my big thing. You want to know how I feel about the trade? This is how I feel about the trade. I get why the other team did it. I don't get why the Predators did this. And this isn't the first trade in the last month where I'm sitting here saying, this kind of feels like a ripoff. At least I could understand the Hala trade when it happened. And they said, well, you know, we want him to play next to Fedor Svechkov, defensive zone draws, things like that. Then you tell me Fedor Svechkov is going to be the second line center. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. I don't want Eric Hall on the second line. He sucks. Luke Shin was terrible. And yet Pittsburgh's general manager can flip him for a second round pick. You got a fourth. So the trading, this one, this is some red flag stuff here that I am not a huge fan of. The Martin pick, again, I wouldn't have made that pick. I'm not a huge fan of that, but I get it. This trade feels like a ripoff. And this doesn't feel like the first time that the Predators lately have been ripped off. It is starting to feel like Barry Trotz is the general manager that other teams go to when they are looking for somebody to bail them out of a problem they have. That's not a good place to be. And yet, there's another trade where it looks like you bailed the Vegas Golden Knights out. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Let's hit your reaction. The pick is on the board. The trade is on the board. 615-737-1025. Stillman & Company, 1025, 106 for the game.
The Nashville Predators making an overnight trade, which has since been made official. The Predators traded Colton Sissons and Jeremy Lauzon to the Vegas Golden Knights for left-handed defenseman Nick Hague in a conditional third-round pick. The condition on that pick is that it becomes a second-round pick if the Vegas Golden Knights win two rounds in the 2026 Stanley Cup playoffs. Now, at the time, Derek, when the reporting was coming out that this trade was being made, it was Colton Sissons and Jeremy Lauzon for Nick Hague. And Nick Hague was being signed to a four-year contract with a $5.5 million cap hit. And when I saw that, I said, this trade doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And now that it's out that the Predators are also getting a conditional third-round pick in the deal because they are retaining half of Colton Sisson's salary, it makes me feel a smidge better. I emphasize that word, smidge better.
There you go. That was Adam Vinga today saying, well, you know, hey, at least they're getting a third round pick. So that makes me feel a smidge better. Does it really? Again, two rounds of the playoffs for that conditional third to become a second. That's a pretty high bar. Sounds to me like this trade was a ripoff. That you traded a third pair defenseman and a bottom six forward in order to get another third pair left shot defenseman and pay more money. Because you're paying $5.5 million, plus you're paying the 1.4 or whatever with Sissons. I mean, that's $7 million between those three players. Or really for just the one in the pick. And the other thing that's crazy about that is Aaron Ekblad just signed, and I know Aaron Ekblad had to take a team-friendly deal. I get it. Aaron Ekblad just re-signed in Florida for $6.1 million. So a top pair right shot defenseman is $6.1 million today, and your third pair left shot defenseman is $5.5 million. It feels like a ripoff. And I hope I'm wrong, but I'm just calling it how I see it. 615-737-1025, phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Include the Brady Martin pick into this, and we'll get to your phones. One texter says, the problem I have with the draft is not taking Blake Fiddler, a right shot defenseman, at pick number 35. Now, here's where I'm not going to pretend to tell you anything about Blake Fiddler. I've never seen him. I don't know anything about him other than the fact that his dad was Vern Fiddler, who was a hardworking Predators player, and he's a right shot defenseman, which they desperately need. I mean, desperately need. That said, he's probably like 4 years away from the NHL. So they need a right shot defenseman today. It does not mean that he will be on the blue line this upcoming season. So I understand a lot of people have warm fuzzies because, again, they like Vern Fiddler, but I'm guessing the Predators did not like Blake Fiddler's game. They won't say it, but when you pass on him five times like they did, yeah, they're probably not huge fans. Alex says, Martin seems like his ceiling could be a more talented Ryan O'Reilly if he can make it. So a lot of people are talking about Sam Bennett as kind of the comp for Brady Martin. I'm not sure I necessarily see that. Here's what I think Brady Martin needs to do in order to justify being the fifth pick. He doesn't need to be a point-per-game guy, although that would be very, very nice. And I'm not sure that he has that type of talent. What he needs to be is he needs to be a Selke candidate. He's probably not going to win it early in his career because Alexander Barkov's probably going to win it every year for about the first 5 years that Brady Martin plays in the NHL. But Brady Martin, the way they describe his game, is he needs to be that kind of Selke, really solid two-way forward, where he can play on your first power play unit and he's one of your first penalty killer, where he can take offensive zone draws and he can take defensive zone draws. He needs to be your number one center, and he needs to be your team captain. That's what he needs to be. If you want to call that Patrice Bergeron, you can. Now, I think it would be a little too much to ask for Bergeron. Bergeron was a very good offensive player, but that's what I think with the fifth pick, his ceiling hopes to be to me, which is a Selke-type player. A very, very, very good two-way forward. Lauren says coaches like Barry Trotz love the 100% effort players because it allows them to be lazy in one aspect of their job, which is getting the most effort out of a player. Now, I think that is very simplistic. Here's what I would say. Let's use Johansson as the example. Anytime somebody tells you that the compete level of Brady Martin is not worth taking, just remember Ryan Johansson. And I don't mean this to be rude when it comes to Ryan Johansson. I don't want to pull the scab of Ryan Johansson. He's probably going on about his life, living it however he wants. And that's his business, not mine. But I think we all know when it comes to Johansson, he left a little meat on the bone. Yeah, he played, but did he play hard all the time? Was he committed to the game? And I'm just going to tell you, the sentiment is no, he was not committed to the game. So whenever you say, well, you know, I don't care about the 100% effort. The coach should be able to get 100% effort out of everybody. Well, John Tortorella couldn't get 100% effort out of Johansson. Peter Laviolette couldn't get 100% effort out of Johansson. John Hines couldn't get 100% effort out of Johansson. Nathan MacKinnon last year apparently got so pissed off with Johansson, he ran his ass out of there. And then the Philadelphia Flyers just waived him and then terminated his contract. So I understand the idea of saying, like, hey, coaches like the effort players because it allows them to be lazy and not have to work so hard to motivate the player, which is somewhat, like, there's a little truth in that. But, I mean, your desire to be great in anything in life is really going to be about your self-motivation. It's like getting an education. You can go to the worst public school, but if you grind in the books, you'll be able to go to college. You can go to the worst public university. If you work hard, you'll be successful. You can go to Harvard and be a moron. It does work that way. One texter says, terrible trade, terrible extension. And to make it even worse, the Predators are retraining salary. Way to go, Barry Trotz, a trifecta of suck. JD in Brentwood says, we all have guys in our fantasy leagues who are consistently making trades just for the sake of doing something. It seems like Barry Trotz is doing the same. I think with Barry Trotz, what's odd is it feels like he makes moves that when we just take the one move and explain it in real time, you can argue that that's a good move. And I use the Dante Fabbro release as an example. Dante Fabbro was on an expiring contract. This team was up against the cap. He was being scratched. It didn't look like he was going to get into the lineup anytime soon. So they waived him. They drafted him in the first round. He gave him some good moments, but really, Fabbro was a third pair defenseman who, as we talk about meat on the bone, I think left a little bit there. The way I described it is he signed out of college, Boston U, and went right into the lineup as a third pair defenseman in the last game of the year. I believe it was a home game against Chicago on a Saturday night and scored. And I'm not sure that Dante Fabbro got 1 ounce better as a Nashville Predator from that day that he showed up out of college to when they released him. Well, then he goes to the Columbus Blue Jays and he plays well, so now everybody's crying about it. That's not the part that bothers me. What bothers me is if you're going to dump Alexander Carrier a month later, then you probably shouldn't release Dante Fabbro because you need a right shot defenseman. So when it comes to Trotz, again, each individual move, I guess you can explain. But when you put them together in the totality of what he's doing, it doesn't really seem to make any sense. It's like, today, I think I'm going to do this. Tomorrow, I think I'm going to do that. That's what it feels like. Trotz comes on the program, and he talks about, you know, oh, I'm going to start our rebuild. He said that to me last year around Thanksgiving. He said he's going to start the rebuild if these older players didn't get it together by Christmas. So he moves off of Carrier, and he moves off of Fabbro, and he moves off of Tommy Novak, and he moves off of some of these kind of like bottom six, bottom pair kind of guys. Scott Wedgwood, the backup goalie. And now he's telling me, well, we're trying to win next year. Wait a minute, what happened? I'm going to start our rebuild. And then he says things like, you're going to see the young players. We're going to bring the young players up. We're going to bring David Edstrom up this year. Well, if you're bringing David Edstrom up, you're not going to try to win this year. So again, I can understand if you were to just take the move and say, okay, this is the move. Here's the move right here. Okay, I can explain this one move. But then when you put it into the context of everything else, it's harder and harder to understand. I'm going to start our rebuild. So why are you trading for Eric Halla? Eric Halla sucks. And you're giving up a pick to get him? That's what I have a hard time with. I don't play fantasy football. But I bet there's probably in every league some guy that just makes trades and makes it. Wait, time out. What? And that's starting to happen now. 615-737-1025. Now, as you know, with the NFL, we do the draft show, and everybody loves the Jared Stillman lifetime reactions. Obviously, we had the draft show for hockey on the other night. Max and Robbie, I would say, are far more qualified to be doing that draft show than I am. But I will tell you what my reaction was on Friday night when they made that pick. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106 for the game.
The Predators pick is in at fifth overall.
Oh, my God. Here we go.
Here's Commissioner Gary Bettman.
Here we go.
Nashville Predators, one of Smashville's all-time greats, and a 2024 inductee into the Hockey Hall of Fame, I give you Shea Weber.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here making the Nashville Predators' first selection. What a big day for these young athletes. Just the start's beginning for them. So, I mean, there's a journey ahead of you, and I want to wish you guys all the best of luck. I want to say hi to all the fans at Bridgestone. I know you guys probably aren't having any fun. I miss you guys. What a place to play. With that, with the fifth overall selection, the Nashville Predators in the 2025 NHL entry draft select from the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds, Brady Martin.
Brady Martin is the Predators' pick at fifth overall. Not one of the two who we expected, but one of the top players in the draft. He was ranked as the number 11 North American skater. But he's been ranked higher than that, and he was a player that was heavily rumored to go fourth overall to Utah. So Brady Martin from the Sioux, who is not at the draft because he is on his farm in Ontario, too busy choring to be there. The good Canadian boy, Brady Martin, is your newest Pred.
This guy is a savage. He's
if you want to get one of your guys too, Mace. Mace was talking about him. He was all fired up about him.
Yeah, but he's a guy that's if you want to talk about guys that's like a cut in the mold of a Kachuk, Brady or Matthew. He's got skill. He's more of a straight line player, I would say, than a creator. The guy hits everything that moves, and he's an absolute savage. You know, again, we're talking, it's tough to pass up a James Higgins type of a skill set, but you're getting a different kind of element to the game. The guy can score. He's not, I wouldn't say, the biggest playmaker or creator or driver, but he's a guy, he's going to get things done. So this is the identity I think the Predators wanted to go for.
There you go. That was Chris Mason Friday night when the pick went down on the draft show. And so, again, that is a Predators entity. Although I almost did. I almost got to do a post-game show last year. And then we all, Jake, last minute, thought that Lindsay might be going into labor. So I believe you were the one that did the post-game show that night.
I believe it was. Yeah, that was, I think they played Tampa. So we got through that one fast.
Yeah, that's a bummer that I didn't get to do a post-game show. I don't think you guys have noticed this. They try to keep me as far away from the Predators entities, you know, on the program, whether it's the pregame show, the post-game show, the draft show, Smashville Live. You think they're ever going to like, hey, come on out. The players who Jared says stinks will be sitting down with Jared and Hal Gill, and Hal Gill will slug Jared across the jaw at some point, you know. So, so this was me Friday night. Because I know that people love it when I lose my mind over the Titans picks. So I'm watching the draft, this freaking Mickey Mouse NHL draft. I mean, I don't like the way that they do it normally when the whole organization walks up there like they won an Oscar. And they say, you know, oh yeah, we want to thank our scouting directors and blah, 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 and blah, 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 and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And congratulations to the Florida Panthers. And we want to give a shout out to all our friends back home at Smashville. The National Predators select Johnny Joseph with the third. I can't stand any of that anyways. But what I could not stand was Gary Bettman going up there and being like, and up next, we have with us international recording artist Lanaya. And it's like, what? God, it was awful. So, I'm watching this Mickey Mouse draft, and Bettman goes up there, and they bring in Shea Weber on Zoom or whatever, the FaceTime, whatever it was. And, well, hold on, let me get back. Utah's on the clock. And we had heard Utah's going to trade the pick to the Islanders over and over and over again. Betting odds were saying Higgins is going at 4 to the Islanders. So I'm waiting. I see at the bottom of the screen, the pick is in. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, the pick is in. Here we go. Utah's making the pick. Please don't take Higgins. And when they took Denoyer, first of all, Tony Finau never shut the hell up. Could you have picked a more irrelevant golfer to make the pick for the Utah team than Tony Finau? And he never shut the hell up. He just kept talking, and he did that obnoxious chant that I've never heard of. So now you're on the clock, and Higgins is there. And it's my dad and my girlfriend and I. My kid is asleep with my mom in the room over, and the Predators are on the clock. And I just put on my phone, Lee Greenwood, proud to be an American, and I just start waving my hand in the air, singing it, knowing that the Predators are going to draft James Higgins. So Bettman comes out, the pick is in. I've now put my phone down because I don't like the tipping of picks. So my phone is in my pocket, and I am sitting there watching the draft with bated breath, and Shea Weber says Brady Martin. And again, I predicted before we went off the air on Friday night, I predicted that the Predators were going to take Brady Martin because I thought the Islanders were going to trade up to 4 and take James Higgins. And when Shea Weber mentioned whatever it was that wasn't Boston College, I said, oh no. Oh no. Brady Martin. And I just sat down in the chair. And I didn't say anything. I just sat there and stared at the TV. And my girlfriend was like, Jared? And I just stood there looking at the TV. My mouth was just open. I was just speechless. I don't think my dad was surprised. I think a lot of people think that I just always have one gear and that that is crazy. But in this case, I wasn't shocked. I was just so disappointed. Not that Brady Martin's some bum, but they had the opportunity to take a number one center. Like, and I say number one center, somebody with the offensive skill of a potential number one center. And they didn't. They took a guy who competes hard, which again isn't nothing, but a 6'3 winger who might score 40 goals in the NHL. They didn't take him. And I just sat there. And I did not say a word. Again, my girlfriend was like, Jared? Jared? And I just sat there in disbelief with my mouth open. My phone was in my pocket. And I could just feel buzz, 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 buzz. And I just didn't have the words. I don't think I talked until, if you remember, they went to commercial break. Then they came back. Then they brought out Charles Barkley. And I think when I saw Charles Barkley, then I was like, okay, now I can talk again. That was my reaction in live time to the Brady Martin pick. And again, I don't think Brady Martin's some bum. I don't think that like this was some just horrendously awful pick or anything like that. Like Brady Martin, I think by a lot of accounts, was the 7th or 8th best player in this draft. According to the gurus, how often do we see the 8th best player in the NFL draft go at 5? That's not crazy. But man, I was disappointed. I was disappointed. So sad. On Friday night. And I just stood there. Just sat there in the chair. Mouth open. Could not believe it. And then the rest of the night was just kind of a sad, mellow, with a little bit of anger in there. Then when the Predators were on the clock later in the night and they started talking about taking a goalie in the first round after they went all in on the goalie they have now, who I don't even like, I thought, no. I understand the idea of draft a guy. It's going to take him 3, 4, 5 years to get to the NHL, but not 8. No. The other two, Cam Reed, Riker Lee, I don't know anything about them. But I just sat there, mouth open. Not that I couldn't believe it. I could believe it. Just disappointed. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. The Athletic gives the Predators a grade that I'm telling you right now, Predator fans are not giving the Preds. We'll get to that coming up next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.